English word body is a bit of a mystery. It's descended from the old English bodig, but beyond that, no one knows where it came from, and it has no confirmed existing cognates. Other Indo-European languages tend to use some derivation of the Proto-Indo-European root crep, as in the French que, in Spanish cuerpo, or the root leib, which meant to stick or adhere, and gave us the German Leib, Swedish live, and English life. As we've covered before, Proto-Indo-European is a hypothetical language spoken by people some scholars suggest lived near the Black Sea some 8,000 years ago. It's the ancestor of hundreds of existing languages, including Spanish, German, Sanskrit, Persian, Swedish, Italian, Armenian, and of course, English. Comparative linguists have been able to deduce a fair bit about Proto-Indo-European culture by discovering common word origins. For example, since several languages as disparate as Sanskrit, Greek, and Dutch have similar words for wheel, it stands to reason that the Proto-Indo-Europeans had wheeled vehicles, and linguists have reconstructed a PIE root, quel. However, we don't need comparative linguistics to tell us that the Proto-Indo-Europeans had bodies. Body parts would have probably been one of the first things that ancient peoples gave names to. So not only do we find hundreds of cognates and permutations, but also widespread use in idioms, slang, and other figures of speech. Since our bodies have been with us literally from the beginning, we can learn a lot about language by investigating their etymologies. I'm Dr. Erica Brzozowski, and this is Other Words.
Other words.
Let's start at the top of the body, that is. Head comes from the Old English heafod, which in turn originated from the PIE root caput. Dozens of English words are descended from the Latin version, including captain, capital, decapitate, chief, chapter, and cattle. You might be wondering how one gets from caput to heafod, since they really don't sound anything alike. This question is actually behind one of the greatest leaps in the study of linguistics. In the 19th century, some linguists began to notice a pattern between Latin and Germanic languages. Words that had a p sound in Latin languages instead had a f sound in Germanic languages. Compare the Italian padre and pesce to the English father and fish. Several other sound patterns were also identified, like the Latin k and the Germanic which is how the Latin canis became the English hound, and why Latin question words like quis, quid, and quo start with a qua, while English question words like what, where, and when start with a hua. These patterns were detailed in the book Deutsche Grammatik by Jacob Grimm of the Grimm Brothers fame. Like a 19th century Tolkien, Grimm was obsessed with folklore and linguistics, and his observation, which stemmed in part from the work of other linguists, came to be known as Grimm's Law. It led to the belief that these seemingly unrelated languages had to share a common ancestor, and that sometime after Proto-Germanic split off, it underwent systematic sound changes across its entire lexicon. This is how the k and p of caput slowly became the h and f of heafod. To bring it back to body parts, Grimm's Law also applies to the English foot, which comes from the P-I-E ped. Again, p becomes f. It has many English cognates like pedal, pedestrian, and octopus. Likewise, finger may have descended from the PIE penqua, which meant five, as in pentagon and quintet. Grimm's Law works in chains of phonemes, with one sound change pulling or pushing the others in the chain along with it. For example, in this chain, the d sound becomes t, and the t sound becomes so the P-I-E root dent becomes the Proto-Germanic tanthu, and finally the English tooth, which means that tooth is cognate with, not surprisingly, dentist, denture, and indent. While we're talking about teeth and feet, why is it that the plurals of these nouns are so irregular? Why not tooths and foots? This is due to another sound shift known as I mutation. At the time, the usual method of making plurals was not that different from modern English, adding ease to the end of a word. So the plural of foot might have been footies. But something odd can happen when we have a low back vowel, ah, followed by a front high vowel, e. It's a long distance for your mouth to travel, ah-ee. So to save effort, the first vowel gets shifted up and forward closer to the second. It's kind of like how if you say this sentence casually, it probably sounds less like how are you doing and more like how are you doing. So the plural for foot probably sounded less like footies and more like fetties. Now that the first syllable already indicates plurality, the second syllable becomes redundant, so it eventually dropped away, leaving us with foot and feet. The same thing happened to tooth and teeth, man and men, mouse and mice, and many other English nouns with irregular plurals. Several body parts seem to have been named after their appearance or structure. Knee, elbow, wrist, and ankle all have PIE origins that meant bend or angle. Thumb is from the root tewe, which meant to swell, making it cognate with tumor. And hair may come from the PIE root gers, which meant to stand out or bristle, also the root for the word horror. Arm comes from the PIE R, which meant to join or fit together, probably a reference to all its component parts. Because arms are so key in human production and destruction, it became the root for many words related to craftsmanship and warfare. Hand and leg both came about after Proto-Germanic split from PIE, and their origins are uncertain. However, palm comes from the PIE pele, which meant flat or spread, and is cognate with plain, field, and floor. Eye is derived from the PIE ok, to see, and is cognate with ocular, optic, and window, which literally means wind eye. I like that. If we peel back the skin, which comes from sec to cut, we find another victim of Grimm's Law, with the k and d of curd becoming the h and t of heart, making it cognate with cardiac and courage. Ancient people believed that the heart, and not the brain, was a center of mental faculties, so it's also related to words like creed, credible, and record. That sense still exists today when we say we know something by heart. Lung comes from the PIE root legua, meaning not heavy. This may be because when boiling organs, as one does, the lungs would float to the top of the pot. Brain may have come from the PIE mreg, meaning skull, or brogno, meaning something broken. Maybe because it looked split down the middle, or maybe because that's what you should aim at in an axe battle. These words have been with us for so long. It's no wonder we found countless creative ways to use them. We can use anthropomorphism to clarify the structure of inanimate objects, as in head of a ship, foot of the bed, or shoulder of the road. Metonymy is the usage of a thing to refer to an associated concept. If you give someone a hand, that can mean assistance or applause. If someone has heart, they possess courage or kindness. Legs can mean endurance. Stomach can mean tolerance. And skin can mean something of value that's at risk. That's not to mention the literally hundreds of idioms that involve body parts, from break a leg to eat your heart out. How many can you think of off the top of your head? The parts of your body are with you, hopefully, from birth to death. They're how we perceive and interact with external objects. They're a filter and point of reference for understanding our world. So naturally, their linguistic labels bleed into all other areas of life. It's a lot to wrap your brain around, but if there's one thing this audience has, it's an ear for words. The English word body is body. Comparative linguists have been able to deduce, and it's like blah, blah, blah. Lung comes from the PIE, blah, 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 lung.